solid. Right on.
Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to
And good morning, Wisconsin. It's a Wednesday morning, the 17th of May. About 6 minutes after 8 o'clock now. Good morning. Hope you're having a good day so far. It's the Earl Ingram Show, and I'm your guest host filling in today. Stu Daniels is my name. Thank you for tuning in. I was here yesterday, and I'll be here tomorrow and Friday as well. And thank you for tuning in to your local civic media radio station. If you'd like to join the conversation today, we do have a number of topics to discuss. The phone number is 844-967-2789. You can call in and you can be on the radio with me and let me know what your thoughts are today. And before we get to the current events of today, I'd like to take a look back at what happened on this day in history. It was on this date in 1954 that lawyer Thurgood Marshall scored a landmark victory as the U.S. Supreme Court unanimously ruled in Brown versus Board of Education of Topeka that racial segregation in public schools was unconstitutional. 1954 on this date. And born on this date in 1956, boxer Sugar Ray Leonard. In 1936, actor Dennis Hopper. You remember him? Probably his most popular role or most famous role was in Easy Rider. And if you've never seen that movie, I would highly encourage you to do so. I think it was one of the first depictions on screen of an LSD trip. And the music, although not an overt political statement, definitely had a political message. At a very difficult time in U.S. history, I think it was 1969, when Easy Rider came out. The war in Vietnam was raging, and a lot of people were questioning what was going on. Dennis Hopper, born in 1936 on this date. And in 1866, one of my favorite classical composers, Eric Satie, was born in France. It was on this date in 1900, May 17th, that L. Frank Baum's The Wonderful World of Oz, or I should say The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, was first published, and that soon became a classic of children's literature, of course, later a movie. And on this date in 1875, the first Kentucky Derby was run at Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky. And by the way, other birthdays today, comedian Craig Ferguson, 61 years old, U.S. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo, 52 years old, Jim Nance, sports announcer, 63, and keyboard player Paige McConnell from Phish is 59 today. And in sports, the Brewers beat the Cardinals last night 3-2. It was a nail biter. The Crew is still in first place, two games ahead of the Pirates. And if we go to some headlines here, I'll tell you what's going on today in the news. You know that the deadline is still looming for the Republicans and President Biden to get together on a deal to raise the debt ceiling. Some say there is some progress being made on that, although it looks like President Biden is going to cut short a trip to Asia, and it looks like the Senate may have to be in session on some days they thought they were going to be at home. It says here the Senate and the House will go on Memorial Day break soon, reducing the time to act. There were some elections yesterday around the country. In Philadelphia, Sherelle Parker, a former city council member who campaigned on hiring more police, won the Democratic nomination for Philadelphia mayor. In Kentucky, Daniel Cameron, attorney general and an ally of Mitch McConnell, won the state's Republican nomination for governor. And in North Carolina, we just heard in the news, if you were listening to the news at the top of the hour, Republican-led legislature reapproved a 12-week abortion ban, overriding the Democratic governor's veto. That means it's evidently very difficult to find abortion care throughout the South now. North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi. Women in those states may have to travel quite a distance just to get reproductive care. Other headlines, let's see. It says here the U.S. is facing an acute drug shortage. Patients are encountering delays in treatments for cancer and other serious diseases. And to attract Black residents, San Francisco is proposing a reparations plan that includes $5 million cash payments and housing aid. It says here, China dominates the production process for electric car batteries. Can the rest of the world catch up? Some of these stories we'll be touching on today as the show goes on. And let's see if we can look at some more local headlines from the Journal Sentinel and other newspapers around the state. It says here, Mike Gallagher is wielding a gavel that belonged to Cold War figure Melvin Laird. We might dip into that a little bit. Some other things going on in and around Wisconsin. Evidently at the Wisconsin Humane Society, this is an interesting story we might touch on during the third hour today. They are making, or they're coming up with jobs for cats, right? Cats with jobs, or at least work to do. They're called working cats, and these are mostly feral cats, but now they are getting a new lease on life as barn cats, trying to keep the rodents down. So we might look at that story a little bit later on in the show. There's going to be a new Kohl's store opening in downtown Milwaukee. We discussed yesterday how the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled on Marcy's Law, saying it was properly enacted into law. And Madison is supposed to get a top-tier professional women's soccer team in a new league. So there's some of the headlines for today. We'll be touching on a number of those as well as some other things. Excuse me, got 14 minutes after 8 o'clock right now. And some things that I've been thinking about. And by the way, I want to thank everyone who called in yesterday and everyone who listened yesterday. But we got a lot of great phone calls, had some very interesting discussions that got me thinking about some things. Yesterday, we talked about now, there's one political party that looks out for the middle class and the working class. Then there's the other political party that looks out for the billionaires and the corporations. And we also talked about how one political party treats Americans with respect and dignity and compassion. And there's the other party where cruelty is the key, where hatred, racism, sexism, misogyny, and homophobia are the accepted norm. Where making disparaging remarks about people who are members of marginalized groups is a popular pastime. But it wasn't always like this. You know, if you think back not that long ago, making fun of people and calling them names was not part of our political discourse until recently. Until Donald Trump started calling people Little Marco, Lion Ted, Crazy Bernie, and Crooked Hillary. Trump has poisoned our political discourse. People who are part of the Trump cult love him for his ability to own the libs, to say crazy things that break from long-held political tradition. To cult members, it's just a game. It's like a reality show. It's like The Apprentice or maybe the Celebrity Apprentice. Well, to me, it seems more like professional wrestling. It's fake. It's phony. It's not really what they say it is. Trump acts like a politician, but he's not really a politician. He has no interest in government or the rule of law or improving the lives of average Americans. Trump's main interests are enriching himself, impressing the people around him, and soaking up the adulation of his cult members. Trump is a poison in the veins of America. He's a cancer in the flesh of our nation. Well, will this poisonous cancer take us down, or can we recover and come back even stronger than we were before? And will the Republicans ever return to a political party interested in governance? Those are some of the things I've been thinking about. Well, what are your thoughts? Feel free to call in. 844-967-2789 is the phone number. I'd be interested to hear what you have to say today. I'm going to get to a story I saw posted last night about some hope, right? There's hope yet, even though sometimes things look pretty dire. There may be some light at the end of the tunnel. I'm going to talk about Joe Biden's freedom pitch. Have you seen the new TV commercial? I've seen it once so far about Joe Biden's freedom pitch and the coming political realignment. After the break, we're going to get into an article here written by Anand Giridharadas, who writes for The Ink. And actually, I guess that's his website. But he comes up with some really insightful stuff. Some of the most insightful political writing that I've read in recent years comes from this gentleman, Anand Giridharadas. And we're going to look at something he wrote last night. I'll read just a little bit of it here before we take a break. It says, in the final days of the 1964 presidential campaign, a professional pitchman and public speaker named Ronald Reagan recorded a video on behalf of the Republican nominee for President of the United States, Barry Goldwater. In the pitch, conventionally known as the A Time for Choosing speech, Reagan fixated on one word and the theme above all else. And that's freedom. Yeah, stick around. We'll get to more of that. Got a quick break coming up. This is a short one, so stick around. You are tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show.
Has brought us through stormy weather. I must admit, girl, I haven't always been good, but you stuck by me just like you said you would. Hey, I know.
Oh yeah. Welcome back, everybody. You are tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show on Civic Media. I'm your fill-in host for today. My name's Stu Daniels, a.k.a. Stu Man, the Newsman. Thank you for tuning in. And if you want to send me an email message, feel free. My email address is stumanradio@gmail.com. Stu is spelled S-T-U. And feel free to give us a call if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Feel free to chime in on anything we've discussed so far. The phone number is 844-967-2789. And just before the break, I was discussing this article written by Anand Giridharadas from The Ink. And I guess this was written about a week or so ago, but he's talking about reclaiming the word freedom from the right. And it looks like Joe Biden is actually doing that in a new television commercial that I've seen on TV. And where I left off here, it says that the Republican Party, the party that once saw people as full of agency, threatened by government constraint, now saw people, this is as of Donald Trump's inaugural address, now saw people as naturally weak and vulnerable, threatened by forces beyond their control, which only strong leaders could defeat. The libertarian Republican Party was now the authoritarian one. The Republican retreat from the frame of freedom is a tectonic, underappreciated shift in American politics, and it may be the start of a profound political realignment. Do you agree with that? For the first time in a generation, the idea of freedom is not an especially important animating principle for the right. They use the word still, but they are fundamentally about something else now, fundamentally about protecting people from supposedly menacing forces like demographic change and changes to M&Ms and children's books and woke corporations. This is the pitch not of freedom, but of the strong man. And I'm going to give you a quote from Miley Cyrus, where he says, to quote Miley Cyrus, the libertarian right of previous generations conceived of citizens as having the attitude, we run things, things don't run we. Today's Republicans tell their adherents that they live in a world of forces that do run them, and only a powerful ruler can interrupt that. I'll continue with this in just a minute. Let's go to the phones first. I do believe we have Tom from L.A. on the phone. Tom, how you doing today, brother?
Stu, you are doing such an awesome job, man. I really hope that they give you a full-time show, because you are knocking it out of the park.
Well, thank you.
I would just like to say that, first, we, the people, ultimately are the government, and I wish the people would actually understand that concept. They say they don't like Washington. They say they don't like all this, but we, the people, are the government. And what people need to understand is that there is a difference between private and public. Private means that it's for profit. Public means that we, the people, through our tax dollars, own it. So when people like Ronald Reagan said government is the problem, people should have stood up and said, why is he calling us the problem? Because we collectively put in a little bit, just like insurance, we put in a little bit, so therefore we can all have and benefit from our tax dollars. And again, I would recommend everyone go to Google and put in to Santa Claus theory, Jude Wininski. It's such a simple concept that the Republicans started long ago with been like drunken sailors when they're in office, and when they and then they're the tax cut Santa Clauses, and then when they're out of office, just bitch like hell that the deficit's too high, and then it faces the Democrats not to be able to do other programs because they feel the pressure of cutting the debt and deficit. So I just hope that people start asking. I'm asking each of the politicians that I meet, are you an FDR Democrat? Are you a person that believes in investing in we the people and getting us a return on investment? We already know that the Republicans spend like crazy and then just put it on a credit card, just like George War Criminal Bush did with the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, which were complete shams, and it was all about oil. In fact, I don't know if you know this, Stu, but when that war first started, it was called Operation Iraqi Liberation. And they thought, oh, wow, that acronym spells oil. We need to change that. So the next day, their communications person changed it to Operation Iraqi Freedom. But it first was called Operation Iraqi Liberation. And it was actually the correct reason why we went into that war. It was all about oil.
Yeah, it's so kind of a Freudian slip, huh?
Exactly. So I just hope that we the people understand that when it's public, when you're talking about a public school, when you're talking about a public road, when you're talking about things that are natural monopolies, that those things should be owned by we the people and should be public. I am not someone that believes your tennis shoes should be owned by the government. I am not someone that believes that I believe in social democracy. I don't like the word democratic socialism. I think it has an awkward sound to it. But we social democracy and social democratic policies is what we should be after, because that includes Social Security, Medicare, child care for all. And if you can just oblige me one more minute, we have to look at the average Wisconsin or California family. California probably a little bit more, but each of the indices that we have, child care costs $16,000 a year. Your mortgage and rent, $16,000 a year. Taxes, $16,000 a year. And your medical expenses, $16,000 a year. You're already at $64,000 a year, and you haven't even paid for your student loan. You haven't paid for your food, your clothing, maybe go on a vacation. You're already in the hole. So my question to any politician that's out there would be, what the hell do you want people to do when you're making $25 to $28 an hour? That's just $32,000 or around that dollar amount. How are people supposed to survive? And instead of people fighting about M&Ms, they should be looking at these four indices. And I wish the Democratic politicians would put these on a whiteboard and then ask the question to the Republican Party, like you said yesterday, the party that for some reason seems to want to inflict pain on people. I wish they would ask them, what do you want the average American to do? Because the average American is not making $150,000, $200,000 a year. So again, public versus private. When you're talking about a Medicare for all system, you're talking about public. You're talking about not making a profit. When you're talking about private, which is basically the insurance companies are the middlemen, and that they have to make a profit for their shareholders, which is either 20 to 30%. That 20 to 30% could be cut out, and the government would basically take it at 1.5% of a amount to actually be able to run the system, and it would save we the people $16,000 a year right there. So I hope I wasn't rambling, but I hope that people really get it. And we have the power. We got to get money out of politics. That's the biggest cancer that's in our society. But that is exactly what we the people need to start realizing, is that we're the ones that are in charge. When Ronald Reagan says government's the problem, well, then you know what? Then I guess we better pull the people out of government that hate government, which is the Republican Party. We ought to have people that are in it for good government and for we the people. Thanks, Stu.
Hey, Tom, before you go, I was thinking about what you said as far as Republicans. Every time they get into the White House, you know, they jack up the national debt and the deficit. And it seems to me they only do that in two ways. You know, it's mostly military spending or money for wars, and then also great big tax cuts for the wealthiest individuals and corporations. And that's what does it every time. And they don't spend money on the people, right?
Right. That, they're the tax cut Santa Claus. And what they do is, it actually says this in this Jude Wininski piece by Tom Hartman. It actually says, you know, you give someone a little tax cut. Okay, you give the person down at the bottom, you know, a small tax cut. But, of course, the person at the top is getting a huge tax cut. So people think, oh, wow, this is really working. And, of course, whenever you stimulate the economy by spending, it does, you know, help the economy for a moment. But it's a sugar high. And then all of a sudden, it all starts to fall apart. Anybody that's a business person out there, I'm a small business owner, And any person that's a business owner out there should be talking about return on investment. And return on investment means that I'm putting $5 into the pot, I better get $10 back. And I don't know any bomb, or I don't know any type of military industrial complex that really gives us a return on our investment. It's like fireworks. It goes up in the air, it blows up, and it's gone. There is no redeeming return on investment. In fact, all it does is usually piss off other countries because we've ruined their world. And then they start coming here over the border, and then we wonder why. So, I mean, Ronald Reagan really did a number on this country. And unfortunately, Bush, Clinton, Obama, they've continued some of those same policies, but they're much better for we the people. But we need to get back to an FDR Democrat, the 21st century Bill of Rights. Everyone should look that up as well. Harvey Kay from Green Bay University, UWGB, does a great piece on it. And we got to get back to community, not just me, me, me. Even we call the iPhone. Everything is about me, me.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Not about us. And we have to get back to that.
If we're ever to survive, the collective.
Especially with climate change and everything like that coming. You watch, whenever those floods happen, whenever those tornadoes happen, people in the South are saying, help, 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 government help. Because they know that government means that it's all of us collectively putting our tax dollars in. And incidentally, Wisconsin and California are what you call donor states. We pay in more money in taxes than we get back.
And that's the way it is in most blue states.
That's the way it is in most blue states. It's the red states that, if you want to use Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan's words, those would be the moochers. But I don't believe in that. I believe that we are the United States and that we are all in this together. So I do believe that even to help my brothers and sisters out in those red states, I'm all for it because I do believe that we, the people, are the government. But people, quit hitting your head against a wall and start actually voting in your best interest. And your best interest is...
Yeah, Tom, thank you for calling in, brother. We got to go to a break. I appreciate your call, as usual. A lot of good stuff there. Tom, thank you very much. And if you want to join the conversation, feel free. The phone number is 844-967-2789. You can get on the radio and let us know what you're thinking. Going to take a real quick break. It's a short...
Sunny skies, Saturday. For Civic Media...
Now we're getting somewhere. 8:50 right now on this Wednesday morning. Back to the Earl Ingram Show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Stu Daniels filling in for Earl today. And we've been discussing an article written by Anand Giridharadas about freedom, the word freedom, and how that used to be such an important part of the Republican culture. But once Donald Trump got into office and gave us that inaugural speech, it seemed like he was ready to let go of that. The Republican Party is not about freedom anymore. It's about the opposite of freedom. It's about authoritarianism. And that's what this article has been discussing so far. By the way, if you want to join us, if you have any thoughts, feel free to call in 844-967-2789. And it looks like the left, or at least our current president, Joe Biden, is picking up that word freedom and running with it. I left off here in the article, it says, to quote Miley Cyrus, the libertarian right of previous generations conceived of citizens as having the attitude, quote, we run things, things don't run we, end quote.
Today's Republicans tell their adherents that they live in a world of forces that do run them, and only a powerful ruler can interrupt that. The right's desertion of freedom creates an historic opportunity for the left to reclaim what should never have been conceded. In reporting my book, The Persuaders, I saw research showing that freedom is the most highly ranked value by people on the far right, far left, center right, and center left. There aren't a lot of values like that left. And it's not just rhetoric. The actual program of the diverse camps of the political left is consonant with a freedom-centered pitch. What is the fight for reproductive rights but a fight for the freedom to control one's body and to have sex without fear that you are making a lifelong commitment some Friday night? What is the fight against book bans but a fight for the freedom to read and think? What is the effort to pursue justice for the January 6th, 2021 insurrection, but a fight to enshrine and defend the freedom to vote? What is the fight against climate change, but a fight for the freedom of our children and grandchildren and us to drink clean water and breathe clean air and live in the mental peace of not constantly dreading floods and fires? What is the fight for truly universal health care but a fight for the freedom from illness and for the freedom to pursue your business ideas and not have to cling to your awful job? What is the quest for free daycare and college but a fight for the freedom to learn and pursue your dreams regardless of whether you happen to be born into wealth? Today, when this was written about a week or so ago, as President Biden announced his re-election campaign, his choice of approach struck me as a sign that this great political realignment may be upon us. As Politico summed up the campaign's opening pitch, quote, Biden's 2024 choice, more freedom or less freedom. In the campaign's three-minute opening ad, Biden uses the word freedom six times. That's approximately five times the frequency of Reagan's 11 uses of the word in his 27-minute speech in 1964. The ad frames all kinds of present-day issues as battles for freedom. Protecting Social Security, beating back insurrection, defending democracy, safeguarding the vote, preserving abortion rights, preserving marriage equality, resisting book bans, shoring up civil rights, and more. As Anant Shankar Osorio, the progressive messaging guru who I write about in The Persuaders, says, the thing about freedom is that you can feel it. It's corporeal. It's not abstract. People know what it feels like to be free and not to be free. This is a theme, a concept, a frame, a word that the left can no longer afford to hand to the right. And the good news is, it seems like it no longer is. It's a story from, or an article from Anand Giridharadas. He has a website called The Ink, and he's always got insightful stuff. What do you think? You think the left, the Democrats, Joe Biden should continue to use the word freedom and push that forward because it seems like the Republicans have given up on freedom? It seems like what they stand for now is just the opposite of freedom. What are your thoughts? 844-967-2789 is the phone number. Give us a call. I'd be interested to hear what you have to say. It seems like it's a good time for the Democrats to pick up that mantle and run with it. You know, I think that freedom is one of the cornerstones of democracy, right? That's what it's all about. But it seems like all across this nation, Republicans are trying to take our freedoms away.
One of the best examples of that is what's going on with these abortion bans. But it's more than that. As we were just looking at in that article, there's book bans these days. What, 10, 20 years ago, we didn't think there would ever be book bans again, right? What are we going to ban? What's so bad that we have to ban it in a book? Discussions about race, equity, equality. Is that stuff, should we keep that information from our kids? I don't know. I don't know if book bans are the way to go. I think freedom is a better way to go. Anyway, I think we're going to be taking a break here in just a minute. After we get back from the top of the hour break here, I'm going to look at some of these freedoms that we've been losing over the past few years as more of these state houses are being taken over by extremist Republicans. Stick around for that. Got the news coming up. You're tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show.